Good morning to our listeners. Welcome to Moment of Hope. Imagine for a moment that the child you tucked into bed last night, the child who walks to school each morning, the teenager laughing with friends online, could be targeted by someone whose sole intention is to exploit them. It's an uncomfortable thought. Many of us believe child trafficking only happens in distant countries, in movies, or to children from broken homes. But the truth is far more sobering. Traffickers do not simply steal children. They groom them. They build trust. They exploit vulnerabilities. They manipulate dreams, loneliness, curiosity, and even the desire to belong. The frightening reality is that trafficking can begin with a friend request, a promise of a job, an offer of a scholarship, a romantic relationship, or someone who simply seems to care. Every child, regardless of where they live, their family, income, or their background, deserves to be safe, protected, and loved. Today, we are shining a light on the issue that thrives in secrecy, but can be prevented through awareness, vigilance, and faith. Our topic is Protecting Our Children, a Biblical Response to Child Trafficking. Joining us is Mrs. Dawn Smith, an associate forensic psychologist and a trauma specialist who has extensive experience in child protection and safeguarding vulnerable children. Together, we'll discuss what child trafficking really is, how traffickers target children, the warning signs every parent and caregiver should know, practical ways families can protect their children, and what God's word teaches about defending the vulnerable. If you're a parent, a grandparent, a teacher, a pastor, a youth leader, or simply someone who cares about children, today's conversation should equip you with knowledge that may one day save a child's life. Dawn, welcome to Moment of Hope.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Barnett. It's my pleasure to be here again with you.
Okay. Before we define child trafficking, from your professional perspective, how serious is child trafficking globally, in the Caribbean, and here in Jamaica? What do the statistics tell us?
I'm very happy that we're having this conversation because child trafficking is so much more prevalent in Jamaica than we imagine that it is. The PBC Jamaica did a research and it shows that children impacted. So over 80% of all recorded trafficking victims in Jamaica between 2020 and 2025 were children, Dr. Barnett. Over 80% worldwide, and this is the United Nations Office for Drug Abuse, approximately 38% of all detected victims of human trafficking worldwide were children. This was in 2022, but in 2027, it stood at 27%. Here's the thing with the Caribbean. In Central America and the Caribbean, approximately 60 to 62% of identified trafficking victims are children. This is way more serious than we think it is, and it is everybody's business.
Can you tell us a little more? I don't want to frighten us, but just to give us the information, to break it down a little so we understand what's happening. Is it boys? Is it girls? What age group are we talking about?
Absolutely, Dr. Barnett. So most of what we're seeing when it comes to sexual trafficking, we're seeing mostly girls. When it comes to labor trafficking, we're seeing mostly boys. And let me give you an example, because this was in the news, so I think persons might be familiar with it. There was a gentleman who presented himself as a football coach. And so he went to different schools and, you know, gather young boys, and they're going to form a football club and such forth. Okay, many persons are happy because you want somewhere for these boys to put their energy. Well, it turns out all this gentleman did was having the children at the stoplights begging monies that never went towards any form of football for the children. So there was never any club. That right there is a form of child trafficking. We would have not even thought of it in that manner. So again, what we are seeing, and I think we need to pay more attention even in the news, because we don't. The ages for Jamaica is mostly 12 to 17. Mostly 12 to 17 is when they are most vulnerable. Some of the vulnerable ones are children who, you know, they run away from home. If you run away from home, you know, that makes you so much more vulnerable. For sex trafficking, it's mostly girls. For labor trafficking, mostly boys.
Thank you so much, Dawn. And where can we find the report? I know you have a report. I saw you on TV the other night.
So the UNODC, that is the United Nations Office of Drugs and Crime, you can always get great information there. The Jamaica Constabulary Force, they have great information on their website. ONR Tip, they have phenomenal information on their website. As a matter of fact, there is a free course that anybody in Jamaica can take. I'm recommending teachers especially. You go on and you take this course. It is on the website for the ONR Tip website. If you just go on the website, you'll see courses. It is a free course. Tells you everything you need to know about child trafficking here in Jamaica, and you get a certificate at the end of it.
All right. Thank you so much, Dawn. Talk to us about what is child trafficking. When we talk about that, what is it? Can you explain in very simple language what exactly is child trafficking?
Yes, Dr. Barnett. So child trafficking is the recruitment, the transportation, the transfer, the harboring, or the receipt of a child for the purpose of exploitation. No, I want to talk a little bit about the difference between child trafficking and human trafficking. So human trafficking is the same definition, except for human trafficking, you have to have what is called a means. What is the means? The means is usually by threat or force or coercion or abduction or fraud or deception. When it comes to children, meaning under 18, you can't consent. So it automatically becomes child trafficking if it's the recruitment, the transfer, the transportation, the transfer, the harboring, or receipt of a child for the purpose of exploitation.
And what is this exploitation we're talking about?
Wonderful. So when we talk about exploitation, we are looking at, number one, sex exploitation. We're looking at labor exploitation. We also have some domestic servitude. You know, let's say Auntie so-and-so live in town and you have a child in the country and you just can't manage. So Auntie say, let the child come and stay with me and I will ensure that child goes to school and take care of that child. Now, this may seem as an opportunity, but when that child gets to Auntie so-and-so in Kingston, that child is never sent to school. That child is only used to wash, clean, cook, do all the work in the home, sometime end up being abused. That's domestic servitude right there. In Jamaica, children are often forced to beg or sell on the streets. They might even be recruited by gangs. So a lot of gang members can exploit children, right? Forcing them to beg on their behalf, forcing them to do criminal activities, probably even become lookouts for when they want to do their wrong, even become armed gunmen or couriers of weapons and drugs. I mean, who is really, really going to check a 12-year-old for drug unless you have some form of suspicion, right? So there has also been reports of criminal organizations exploiting children in forced criminal activities such as lato scamming. And we know what that is happening in Jamaica.
Okay. You know, Dawn, one of the greatest dangers I hear from you is that trafficking often begins with someone the child already knows. How are children often lured into trafficking? And before you answer that question, just now when you spoke about begging and, you know, all of that kind of thing, it would seem to me that trafficking has a socioeconomic face. Is that what we are to understand, or it is right across the socioeconomic spectrum?
It is right across the socioeconomic spectrum, Dr. Barnett, because let me use another example. You might have somebody of a affluent, family. Okay. Now, some traffickers lure you in via relationships. There's a case out in the US. And the young lady met this gentleman. He dated her for 6 months. She took him home to meet her family. She's in love. He's helping her financially. They have the best relationship. Now, he said he was a music producer, and the best place for that is Las Vegas. And so he wants to move to Las Vegas and for her and her daughter, which wasn't his child, to come to Las Vegas. Now, you know, when she went to Las Vegas, the story changed. She now need to work to pay him back all the monies he has spent on her. So it's called the Rebecca Bender. So if anybody's listening and want to go research Rebecca Bender, she has become a speaker against trafficking. So persons can be lured into romantic relationships. And when they get you where they want you, then you recognize that you're in a trafficking situation. So what he did, he isolated her from her family. Now he used her child as a threat. So when she decided, I am not going to sell my body. You didn't have a choice because I'm going to kill this child. So anybody, trafficking can happen to anybody. It can be through jobs. You can see a job advertised, especially in the beauty industry, Dr. Barnett. And this is why I also encourage beauty advisors to get educated so you can know the signs of trafficking. Now, you may see ads that says they need a massage therapist, they need a nail tech, or models, right? They need models. Can you imagine a young lady aspiring model, and then you respond to this ad and realize that now you are held captive to become a sex slave? So trafficking can happen to anybody, Dr. Barnett.
Okay, thank you so much, Dawn. What are some of the warning signs some families should watch for, look out for, what they must look for?
Okay, so for children especially, does the child stop attending school? We need teachers to understand that. Has the child, has sudden dramatic change in their behavior? Do they look confused, disoriented? Are they showing signs of mental or physical abuse? Does the child have bruises on them? Are they fearful? Are they timid? Are they submissive? Is an adult speaking for that child? That's something that else, because remember, trafficking is, it does not have to cross borders. And a lot of times it happens with persons that the child know. All right. Is the child often in the company of someone whom he or she defers to, or someone that seems to be in control of the situation all the time? Are they living in unsuitable condition? Does the child have freedom of movement? Does the child lack personal possessions? Or hear this. All of a sudden, is the child showing up with expensive things that they can't tell you where they get it from? Are you seeing them with monies that, you know you didn't give them? So those are just some of the signs that should trigger you to say, what is happening with this child?
Thank you so much. We're talking with Dawn Petgrave-Smith, an associate forensic psychologist and a trauma specialist. And she is walking us through child trafficking and what are some of the warning signs. Dawn, when you spoke just now, you didn't talk about the online, the prevalence of the social media and the recruiting online and the online secrecy. Talk a little about that. I know some parents struggle with just understanding that.
Yes. I want to talk about the gaming platform first, Dr. Barnett, because a lot of our children play with virtual friends. And what some of the traffickers are doing, they are disguising themselves as a child and coming onto these games. And then they create relationships with these children to get information from them and then eventually lure them into doing other things. Send me a naked picture or let me video call. Right. And then what they're doing now, they take those pictures and sell them. Social media. Be careful what you're putting on social medias, because these persons are very smart people. They look at your vulnerability. So, you know, if you're constantly talking, I need a job, I need this, I need that, and blase, blase. No, that is an area where someone can know, they study your social media and then come in. So you think this is so real. I spoke earlier about romantic relationships, gifts and monies, phones and even credit. I've heard of situations of even just credit, phone credit. So for parents, I would encourage parents, for young children, ensure that their tablets have on some form of protection, security, and so that certain sites they don't have access to, and monitor every now and then, take that phone, take that tablet, and monitor it to see what is happening.
Now let's look at some practical ways families can protect their children. What recommendations would you give to parents who are listening about how they can build that safeguard around, safety net around the children, so that they don't expose themselves to these kinds of vulnerabilities?
Yes, we have to first, well, as parents, we have to educate ourselves on the information. We can't shy away from it and think this will never happen to our child. So that's the first thing we need to do. The next thing we need to do, Dr. Barnett, is to create spaces, safe spaces where that child know that they can come and talk to you about anything without fear. You know, I hope we move away from the statement that children are supposed to be seen and not heard. We need to hear what our children are saying. So let's build strong relationships. Know their friends. Who are their friends? Where do they go? What do they talk about? You know those things. We spoke earlier about monitoring their technology. And this is not to go spy on your child, but you need to know. And the child need to know that, look, you have this tablet, but from time to time, I am going to take it. We need to be teaching our children safety. All right. We need to talk about good touch. Stranger danger, who is a safe, you know, stranger, who is a dangerous stranger. Above all, we need to listen to our children. We need to be praying. Now, human trafficking is the second largest organized crime worldwide. It means that no one situation or no one person can solve this. So we need to be praying as families, as schools, as church communities. Above all, the conversations need to be had.
Good. Thank you so much. I'm happy that you have touched on church. How can churches look out for these things, and what can churches do?
You know, Dr. Barnett, that is such a tough area. So for church, especially when we have new persons joining the church, I believe that every church needs to have an intake form. We need to know who these people are as much as possible. We need to be having more of these conversations, even from the pulpit. We need to create the awareness of these things. I think the church need to also, in Sunday school, talk to the children. One of the things I do in Sunday school, I had gotten some material from the TIP unit. It's a booklet. It says, A Safer Me, Anti-Trafficking Activity Workbook for Children 6 to 12 years old. You best know this is what I use for Sunday school for many weeks. So our children, they're at church, but guess what? They're also getting the information, because that's the only place I will have access to them. So let us become more intentional about the education of trafficking. Talk about the prevalence and talk about the responsibility of every single person.
Thank you so much. Before we close, what final encouragement can you give to parents?
I know that parenting is not an easy job. It did not come with any manual. And especially if you are a single parent, I know sometimes children are left with other people and you can't do it all on your own. But I want to encourage you that take the time out. Put this, just like how you know you have to go to work, this is how you have to create that time that you're spending with your children. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. And it is in that space that you can get to talk to them about the social nuances that are happening and affecting our children.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Thank you. Will you pray for our families, especially at this time in summer, when, you know, care for the children while parents are at work is sometimes limited. Just pray for the families for us.
Father, we glorify you and we thank you for who you are. Father, right now we lift up our nation's children. God, we know that you know every single one of them. You know them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. You know where they hurt. And so, God, we ask for your divine protection. I pray that you will send out your angels, mighty God, to give camp around them. Father, I lift up parents, especially those single parents who may be struggling. Father, I pray that you will provide provide a way for them. That is your word. Father, you are our provider. You are our healer. Father, you said if we lack wisdom, we should ask for it. So even right now, I pray that infinite wisdom, your infinite wisdom will be ours as parents. Father, I lift up churches. I lift up school communities. I lift up community centers, mighty God, that you will continue to bind us together so that we can understand that it takes all of us together to fight this pandemic called human trafficking. I pray that the peace of God that passes all understanding will be ours in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dawn. And just before we go, if you suspect that a child or a person is being trafficked or exploited, do not remain silent. Report it immediately. You can call 1-888-776-8328 or the Jamaica Constabulary Force emergency number 119 or 811 or the nearest police station. As we come to the close of today's moment of hope, let us remember that every child is a sacred gift. Every child deserves to grow in safety, dignity, and love, knowing that they are treasured not only by their families, but also by God himself. Until next time, may God bless you, keep your family safe, and empower all to be guardians of his sacred, precious children. Thank you for listening. Until next time.